السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، حضرت مفتی عبدالقادر صاحب دامت برکاتہ، ونس اگین اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا تو یو آن دا لاسٹ سیگمنٹ آف دس بیوٹیفل پروگرام ایوری مارننگ. مے اللہ تعالیٰ ریوارڈ یو اینڈ آپا ابنڈنٹلی اینڈ مے دا اما بینیفٹ بائی دا کوشچن اینڈ آنسر سیشن دیٹ از ہیلڈ تھرو آؤٹ دا ڈے، informing the ummah and keeping them well informed as far as what Shariat has to say regarding everything. And that's the beauty of the Quran, tibyanan li kulli shay, that the Quran has explained every aspect of human life, and that is explained clearly in the ahadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mufti sahab, inshallah, the question is, my wife paid zakat on her savings. We have money kept for funeral expenses, 6,000 rand. Do we pay zakat on this?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 100% you will have to pay zakat on that which you keep one side, either for funeral expenses or either people are preparing to go for Hajj once the month of Shawwal, Zulqa'dah start. So they paid, for example, 100,000, 200,000 deposit to the agent, and the remainder, the balance, they will pay it after Ramadan or during Ramadan, but the zakat is due now. So on that balance that you have by you, so zakat will be compulsory on that as well. So it doesn't mean if we kept some money aside for some good thing, then there is no zakat on it. So whether it's for funeral, whether it's for umrah, whether it's for hajj, then zakat will still be compulsory on that amount there at a rate of 2.5%.
Mufti sahab, is it a must to get off the taxi at Masjid Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to be able to perform a new umrah, or can we make our niyat in the taxi after going beyond the miqat?
Remember that once you go out of the haram, so the haram is M3, 3M, so that is Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, so that is the haram. So now when you go to Tan'im, a practical example I give you, so today the people who are in Makkah, so after Asr you go, you know, between Asr and Maghrib there, in the winter months, easy is 2, 2.5 hours, there's a gap there. And remember, winter time is more than summer time is more than 3 hours gap there. In summer, sometimes 3 hours, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, like that it is. So be that as it may. So now you went to the taxi, you told him Masjid Aisha Tan'im. So he took you, and then you went in, you went right round, you didn't go inside the masjid, because according to Hanafis, they say you can't read Salat, and then you went back. But when you were there at Tan'im, you made intention for Umrah. Is it permissible? 100% permissible. And majority scholars, Shafi's, Maliki's, Ambali's, everybody agrees that the 2 rakats is not even sunnah, it's just nafil salat, and it's voluntary. If you read it, it's good. If you don't read it, it's totally permissible. You make your intention and you say that you must remember that I made intention nawaitul umrah fa yassir hali wa taqabbalha minni. Ya Allah, I made intention for umrah, make it easy for me and accept it. And thereafter you read labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Now you are in the state of consecration, in the state of ihram. So remember, very good question, no problem with that, totally permissible. And whether you go now after Fajr, you go after Zuhr, after Asr, after Maghrib, after Isha, anytime you go, and for convenience, you don't want to disembark, but you want to make it clear with a taxi guy, you are going with him Zahab Iyab. Zahab Iyab means that you are going with him and coming back with him and so forth. So round trip, as you call. So then others will start fighting and arguing in ihram and so forth. So that does not befit you to do. Make everything clear from the start.
Mufti sahab, if we are traveling from South Africa to Doha, when shall a person break fast on the plane?
Remember, wherever you are traveling to, from South Africa to Hong Kong or Doha or Dubai or London, New York, Russia, China, wherever you are going to, so you don't work with the time on the land, on the sand, on the ground. You work with the time airborne, because you're going through all the various time zones and so forth and so on. You see now, if example, we just take on the hour. Let's say it's 6 o'clock. You understood now. So this is an example. If you go to New Zealand, Auckland, and Christchurch, and all Hamilton, and all these places, Wellington. So now there, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon already. They're 10 hours ahead of us. So you must remember different countries, different time zones, and so forth. So now for your iftar, you just look out of the window, and you must be 100% sure the location you are in. And that is why you are airborne, the sun has set in that area. So you don't worry about the time on the land, sand, and ground. So then you make your iftar. And regarding your suhoor, your pre-dawn meal, work on 2 hours before sunrise so that you know you're 100% sure. Because sometimes crazy things happen when you are traveling. Sometimes you are traveling in a certain direction, the sun has set. After 1 hour, 2 hours, you see the sun is still up. So because of different time zones. So anyway, if you did that and you were sure that the sun has set and then you made iftar, so you will find that your fast is valid and there's no problem with that. So therefore, work on 2 hours before sunrise in the location where you are. Once you airborne and you finish your suhoor and your pre-dawn meal. These are the basic rules that you should remember. And very important, wherever you are, make sure you are performing your salat in the plane, standing facing the Qibla. If they don't allow you to stand or they don't allow you to face Qibla, then you just sit on your seat and read it. Ihtiraman lil waqt, to show respect to the time of salat. But when you land at your destination and you have settled, so make qaza of that salat which you perform in the plane.
Okay, sir, I was told that we have to move our lips and mouth when reading zikr, or else zikr won't be counted. I wanted to ask if this is true, as sometimes when reading continuously when fasting and mouth pains and get dry. Please, would you let me know if this is true?
The person who explained that to you has explained it to you incorrectly with due respect to him or her. When we speak of tilawat of Quran, therefore the word is used tilawat. Alladhina ataynahumul kitaba yatlunahu haqqa tilawati. So for Quran Sharif tilawat. Now, out of salat, we have finished our Fajr salat here, you finish your salat in Durban, so now you want to read Quran Sharif, you want to read Surah Yasin, you want to read every day your juz that you are reading, today you're reading the 12 juz, 13, 14, whatever it is. So when you are reciting Quran Sharif in salat, in namaz, or out of namaz in salat, then tahreek-e-shafatain has to take place. There must be lip movement, there must be tongue movement, and so forth and so on. So that is correct as far as the tilawat of Quran goes. But regarding zikrullah, to say you must move your lips, that's totally wrong. You can make zikr lisani. Zikr lisani means subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, la ilaha. All that durood sharif, istighfar, all that you see, you move your lips. But you can make zikr qalbi, wazkur rabbaka fi nafsika. Quran says that you, Ya Rasulullah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you remember Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala in your heart, Mubarak. So it shows that there you don't have to make the movement of the tongue and the lip don't have to move in your heart. If you sit with the real awliyaullah, the very, very great people, you know Sheikh Lutfullah Abbasi used to come to South Africa. So then I used to always just look down when people used to become his murid, you see. I used to enjoy with him and used to like it with me that I used to speak Arabic. So he told me many a time that you're the only one who speak Arabic here with me. Nobody else wants to speak. I said, no, Hazrat, they know, but they feel a little bit shy maybe. So anyway, so before that, he makes them murid, or just after that, he puts his finger by their heart and he gives them one shot. So when I meet that person alone, I told him, Hazrat gave you a nice injection. Now your heart will start moving. It will start making Allah, 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 Allah. You see that? So that is how. So for zikr, my brother, you don't have to move your tongue. You can make zikr lisani with the tongue. Oh, you made zikr qalbi with the heart where the tongue will not move. But for tilawat of Quran, whether in salat and namaz or out of salat, there must be tongue movement, lip movement. So we need to be very clear. Not like how we read a newspaper or a book. You will see we just read in our mind. You can't do that with Quran Sharif. There must be the lip movement.
Of Kisab, if a person's mother is a non-Muslim and has passed on, is it permissible to go to the house, church, and thereafter to the cremation center?
Remember that we are Muslims and we follow Islam at all times, all places, all circumstances. So what is the meaning of Islam and Muslim? One who has submitted, surrendered lovingly, willingly, sincerely to the command, instruction of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to the teaching, preaching of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa, Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him. So you go and open the Quran Sharif, the noble, glorious Quran, chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 84. And see what is written there. وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. You cannot go and pray for anybody who has died and passed away as a non-Muslim. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ. You can't go there and stand and visit and frequent the graveyard. إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. They have died as non-Muslims. So for you to go and participate there in the prayer, or for you to go to the graveyard or crematorium, or for you to participate with them, just standing there, what you will say out of respect, all that totally haram in Islam. And if you're going to read what they are reading, then you'll go out of the fold of Islam. Yes, Islam is a religion of justice. So when everything is done and dusted, you are the son, your father, your mother passed away, you are the daughter, so you go to your family, and then you offer your condolences, you sympathize with them. You can do it telephonically, you can do it with your WhatsApp, SMS, email, whatever it is. So that is fine. But for you to be an active person there by the graveyard, in the memorial service, or by the crematorium, all that totally haram. Chapter 9, verse 84, and two hadiths come on this topic. Number one, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whosoever imitates a people and nation becomes part and parcel of them. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad. And مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ. Who goes to a place and you're increasing the numbers of those people, but they have gathered there for something batil, for something null and void and un-Islamic. مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَوَ مِنْهُمْ. So you become part and parcel of those people as well. The hadith in Musnad Abu Ya'la. So we should know that all this is mentioned in the Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah. So for us is our religion and for them is their religion. What you are suggesting, brother, sister, all totally haram and not permissible.
Of Kishab, do we pay zakat on 9-carat gold?
On 9-carat gold, there is no zakat. Yes, there will be zakat if you are selling it. Then it will be considered as malut tijara, as stock in trade. Then you will take the retail price of it, and then 2.5% zakat will be compulsory. But if it is 9-carat gold, you got it there in your house, you got it for your own purpose, for your own adornment and so forth, then ijma and there's consensus, there is no zakat on it.
Kisab, do we pay zakat on platinum coins?
Remember, again, if you have the platinum coins and you're just keeping it by your house, you understand, as you know, a collector's item or what have you, so then there will not be any zakat. But if you have this platinum coins and what have you, and it is for buying, selling purposes, you get the right price, you will sell it, then again it will fall in the category of malut tijara, stock in trade, and zakat will be compulsory on the retail price. So that is what you must do when you calculate zakat, work on the retail price. Why? because then you will start paying more and more zakat, and ma huwa anfa alil fuqara, and more poor Muslims will reap the benefit, and you will empower more and more poor Muslims. Remember zakat, sadaqatul fitr, fitra, fidya, all that must go to poor Muslims only. Your voluntary sadaqah, charity, that can go to poor Muslims and to non-Muslims. That is the voluntary charity.
Mufti Sahib, should we go for Ramadan Umrah knowing that you will not read 20 rakats of Taraweeh behind an imam?
So you booked your ticket already and now you're asking me, Baji. So you must remember that people today, one guy in Makkah 20, 25 years ago in front of me, he cleaned the whole chicken up, KFC, you see. And then he asked me, Mufti Sahib, I halal chair. So I said, Baji, after you ate, now you're asking me. Pet to barik you amre, you see. You put the haram straight in your mouth and you came for Hajj. And now you come ask me. If you really were interested, you should have asked before you even bought it. Never mind before eating it, before buying it, you should have asked. So you, brother, be honest, you made some booking already for Umrah and so forth. You're talking to the agent. Now you're telling me that no, that they don't read 20 rakats Taraweeh. They're not reading 20 rakats Taraweeh for 5-6 years now. In Makkah, courtesy of MBS, Murtad bin Shaitan, he destroyed Islam's teaching for more than 1,000 years. 1,000 years in Makkah Mukarramah, 1,000 years in Madina Munawwara. Where's the Dalil of this 1,000? Go open Imam Tirmizi, Jami and Sunan. Al-Imam Shafi'i, Rahimullah, states, when I came to Makkah with my mother and them, so then I was 2.5 years old. I grew up in Makkah, became Hafiz in Makkah, and by Sheikh Imam Muslim bin Khalid Azanji, the African teacher. I bahated Mu'tam Malik in Makkah, and I saw the people were always reading 20 rakats. Go open Tirmidhi. You understand where they discuss about Taraweeh and so forth. Go to Medina Munawwara. He passed away, Sheikh Atiyah Ibrahim Salim, our honorable Ustad, and his teacher was Allama Shanqiti Rahimahullah, who wrote Adwa'ul Bayan. So you must remember wonderful tafsir. And when he used to teach, I saw him crying many a time. He used to say, waqala ustazuna, waqala waliduna, when referring to Allama Shanqiti Rahimahullah. He wrote a book there, that is Ishreena Rakatan fil Masjid al-Nabawi Akhtar min Alfi Amin. For more than 1,000, you Google it also, you will find it. So Atiyah Salim is known as the Sheikh. He passed away, Rahimahullah. So his lectures I used to sit for almost daily, and Sheikh Umar Falata, our special teacher, African, used to kiss his hands and forehead from Nigeria, you see. 49 years he taught Hadith Sharif in Masjid Nabawi. So like that, we must wake up and understand who the real Mashayikh are and so forth. So now is not something new. So if you booked your ticket and everything, so go. So you read 10 rakats Taraweeh with the Imam, Makkah, Medina, and then you read the Witr with the Imam, and then you go to the hotel room, and then you and your wife, you and your daughter, you and your son and you, then you'll read the Taraweeh 10 rakats, 2, 2, 2, read from Alam Tara downwards. You know long surahs, then read that Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah Yasin, Surah Tabarak, whatever you want to. So that is not a fair excuse, yes. I will still tell you, if you have a choice, that then rather go to Aqsa first, and then go to Makkah, and then to Medina. You fasten your haram in Aqsa. And if you can't manage that, but you've been to Makkah, Medina, Haramain Sharifain, couple of times, several times, so now go to Aqsa only, especially if you have not been there. Show our solidarity, see what the haramis have done. Last week they cut off all food, fuel, medication. 7-8 days nothing has entered. Yesterday they cut off the electricity, and he warned the Minister of Energy, Cohen, La'natullah alayda harami. They're listening to me. They record my dead talks here. So Allah's curse be upon you, jutlas, haramis, you war criminals. So remember that, they say, then threaten in future, we will cut off the water also. Therefore, these swines, you must remember, every day make dua, Allah dismantle them. Allah remove the entire state of Israel, the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, Hitler's children. So that much we should do. Allah give us tawfiq.
Mufti Sahab, please advise zakat on monthly salary. Is zakat wajib on monthly salary that we earn?
Remember, let's say now you get 10,000 rand, just to make it easy for calculation purposes, right? So it means that in 12 months you will get 120,000. So the nisab, the threshold is 12,000. So after you receive your 10,000, you have to pay rental, you have to pay water, lights, there's food, all that. And now you are saving 1,000, 2,000 per month. So now end of the year, when you start calculating Ramadan or Muharram or Shawwal or Zulqa'dah, whichever month, remember you work with the Islamic months, yet Muharram to Muharram, Ramadan to Ramadan, Rabiul Awwal to Rabiul Awwal. So then in your balance there, in your mattress or in the bank, you have 12,000 rand or more, then zakat is compulsory at the rate of 2.5%. So it don't mean on the gross amount that you receive, that 12,000, 10,000, you have to pay zakat. You use everything for your basic needs and necessities on the balance, and then you save that, and then end of the Islamic lunar year, then you have 12,000 rand or more, then you pay zakat on that amount there.
Mufti Sahab, zakat on gold across the board is 2.5%. I heard if you don't wear the jewelry for 1 year, is 5%. Please advise, Jazakallah.
Remember what you heard is totally wrong. I don't know who told you that is a fairy tale. You must remember that. That if you're speaking about the woman's gold and jewelry and so forth and so on, the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali say that if you are using it once, twice, thrice, or during the year, so then there's no zakat on it, la zakata fil huli. That is the verdict of the Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis, majority scholars. If you there whole year, you didn't use it at all, it stayed there in the vault, in the safe, and so forth, then there will be zakat on it, even according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis. So she must use it at least once, twice, thrice a year, then the zakat will be waived off. So that is the one side of the coin. The other side is the Hanafis. Whether you use it or you don't use it, zakat is mandatory, compulsory, and the rate is 2.5%. There's nothing like 5% and all that. Yes, you didn't pay last year's zakat, so that Maulana Sheikh told you, now this year you must pay 5%. 2.5% of last year and 2.5% of this year, so then that is right. Your zakat will work out to 5,000 rand if your jewelry is for 100,000 rand. And 2 years now you didn't pay the zakat, so then you work on 5%. 2.5% for last year, 2.5% for this year. So maybe that's what he was trying to tell you.
Mufti Sahab, jewelry is given as mahar. And if the marriage is terminated, can the husband demand the jewelry back?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this very question in chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verses 20-21-22. You, the husband, you gave your wife millions. Qintara means al-amwalul kathira. Now divorce took place and now there were rows and ructions. So now you tell her, give back the Kruger coin, give back the money, give back the clothing, give back this. Quran says, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. It's haram for your husband to take back anything. You gave her 50,000 rand, 100,000 rand. To take back 1 rand, 1 cent is haram. To take back 1 rupee, $1 is haram. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. What, do you want to take it back and want to slander? And this is a major, major sin. Allah is posing the question, Allah sabili ta'ajjub, that Allah Ta'ala is saying, it is amazing, astonishing. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ. Oh husband, ex-husband, how can you take it back? وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And you deflowered her, and you had your wonderful moments with her, and thereafter the marriage turned sour, so now you want it back, absolutely haram and not permissible. That is Quran Sharif, chapter 4, verses 20, 21, 22. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, you gave a gift to a person. I gave you, Junaid Mota, Jinnat Mota, a gift. Yesterday, I asked Junaid Mota that after the program, what time you come here? He said 12:30, 1 o'clock in Ramadan. I thought 2 o'clock. He said 2 o'clock is for normal days. Ramadan days is here 12:30, 1 o'clock. The Jinnat told him he must come early. You see that? So I gave Jinnat Mota here of our Junaid a gift, a book or whatever. Then he made me very angry. He don't make me angry, he's forever smiling. So I'm just giving example. Then I told him my book, my money I gave you, I want it back. Allah forbid, Al-Iyazu Billah. He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-A'idu fi hibatihi, kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. Your example is that you gave a gift to the giftee, to the recipient, and subsequently some rouse lakshan and there were big problems. You told him or her, give it back to me. Your example is like the dog. That dog that vomits and then goes back to its vomit and licks it. Do you want to do that, husband? You should be ashamed of yourself. Absolutely haram, you must remember, for the husband to take it back. Illa fi suratin wahida, except in one case. The one case is the following. Husband, wife are married. Husband made so many adjustments. He made nice bedroom, nice kitchen, bathroom, everything. And he said, my poppy, my darling is coming. Let me make everything tip-top condition. But poppy came. And his wife came, but she want to wear miniskirt. She want to wear bikini. There in the beach, she say, boha, bo garmi lage. She say, it's very hot, you see. So I have to go and dive in the pool and in the ocean and so forth. And she don't want to read salat and so forth. Bad choice, your husband. So now you want to make the marriage work. She say, go fly a kite, man. I made a mistake marrying you. You are half dead. You know how the women, some of them, they speak today. Me, I want a wakar guy, not a sleepy guy. You see, so that is how they speak today, you must remember. It's democracy, you see. So now you come here, sleepy Joe, I don't want you. So now the fault lies with her, not with the husband. So in that case, Quran Kareem states, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ Chapter 2, verse 229, that you fear now you can't fulfill one another's rights. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا Then there is no sin upon you. فِيمَ افْتَدَتْ بِي That she gives back and pays you a ransom, a compensation. She gives back the mahar and so forth because she wants out of this marriage. Look at the Quran, then you will understand. Lughatul Quran, chapter 2, verse number 187. Hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahun. As long as the marriage subsists, then it is libas, it is garments for one another. And now this you call khula. Chapter number 20, verse 12. فَخَلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ O Musa alayhi salatu salam, remove and take out your shoes and sandals. Make khula of your shoes and sandals. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى You are in the holy valley of Tula or Tua. So you, the wife, you're making khula. It's your fault. So you give back the mahar and then he will give you talaq-e-ba'in. You go your way and he will go his way. That's the only time. All other times for you, the husband, ex-husband, to take it back, absolutely haram. We need to understand our Sharia. Barakallahu feek. Allah keep us always with our wives, with our spouses, husbands, and for the love and pleasure of Allah. Wasulhu khair. Reconciliation is the best. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.